Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gaurani. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60, Verse 35. Satyam bhaya divagunebhya uru kramantaha Shete samudra upalambhana matra atma Nityam kat indriya ganaihi krita vigrahastvam Vatse vakai nrpapadam vidhutam tamondham Since the students know much better how to chant this than I do, I don't get the meter very well. Satyam bhayad ivagunebhya urukamantah Shete samudra upalambhana matra atma Nityam kadindri yaganai krita vigrahastvam Vatse vakai nrpapadam vidhutam tamondham
Okay.
Matagis.
Satyam maya jivagunega urukkamanta. Shete samurya utarambana matra atma. Nityam tarindriya ganayati tarindriya haswam. Tvatseva tanita padamitu pandamana. Satyam bhayadi patunedya urukramanta. Shete samurya upalamana matra atma. Nityam tadindriya ganayri tadindriya hastam. Tvatseva karmi papadam vidutam tamam nam.
Students.
Satyam bhayati bhagunega urukkamanta. Shete samudra upalambana matra atma. Nityam tadindriya ganayati tadindriya hastam.
So I think that maybe before we look at this translation, I'll give some background, and then we can understand better what the translation is and what the purport is trying to say. It's not on? Is the microphone on? Yeah. So let's go to verse 12. Verse 12. Madan Mohan Prabhu, 12, verse 12. So what's going on here is that Krishna is in the mood of joking. He's joking with his spouse, Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini is responding to one of the jokes he makes. So I'm going to show you what the joke is, and then today's verse is the response. So text 12. Is Rajabhyo Bibhyataha Subhu Samudram Sharanam Gatan Balavad Bhikuta Dveshan Prayastyaktan Rupasanam. So the translation is, terrified of these kings, O lovely browed one, we took shelter in the ocean. We have become enemies of powerful men, and we practically abandoned our royal throne. So Krishna, when he jokes, he seems to be deprecating himself here. So he's saying that Rukmini Devi did not deserve him as a husband. He was not qualified enough to be her husband. That's what he's saying. And the way he gives a series of arguments, and one of the arguments is text 12, in which he says that I was afraid, terrified of kings. Which kings? Kala Yavana, Jarasandha, they attacked Mathura. And Krishna, as if afraid, ran away, first from Kala Yavana and led him to Muchukunda. And then after he was killed, Krishna came back, and then along with Balaram, he again ran away from Jarasandha, as if afraid. So that's what he's referring to here. Krishna became afraid of these kings. So it's like he was a coward. For a Kshatriya, Danam Ishwara Bhavascha Kshatram Yuddhecha Api Apalayanam. The Kshatriya is not supposed to run away from the battlefield. So Krishna is reminding her that I'm a coward, you know, that I'm terrified of these kings. And what did he do? He transported magically his entire city of Mathura, all the people there, into a city in the middle of the ocean. And that's Dwaraka. So he says, we took shelter in the ocean. He was so afraid that he ran away and took shelter in the ocean. And then he says, we have become enemies of powerful men, like Jarasandha, and we practically abandoned our royal throne. So when Krishna killed Kamsa, then the throne of Mathura became his right. But he did not take the throne. He did not ascend to the throne. Rather, he gave it to King Ugrasen out of respect. So Krishna says, we abandoned our royal throne. So he's trying to say, well, I'm not even a responsible Kshatriya. Even when I did defeat Kamsa and I won this kingdom, I gave it away. I didn't want it. So I'm not very responsible. I have made enemies of these powerful people. I am running away from the battlefield. I'm just not qualified to be your husband. This is Krishna's joke. Okay. And then Rukmini Devi is responding in today's verse. So let's look at the translation. She's responding to this specific verse, verse 12. Translation. Yes, my lord, Urukrama. Urukrama is another name for Krishna. You lay down within the ocean as if afraid of the material modes. And thus, in pure consciousness, you appear within the heart as the super soul. You are always battling against the foolish material senses. And indeed, even your servants reject the privilege of royal dominion, which leads to the blindness of ignorance. So what Rukmini Devi is, who is Krishna's intimate queen, one of his principal queens, she knows Krishna's position. And so what she has done is, in a beautiful manner, turned around Krishna's own arguments, which were for basically insults towards himself, into glorifications. This is a glorification of each of those. And I'll explain this in some depth today, hopefully. Let's look at the purport. In text 12, Lord Krishna said, Rajabhyo bibhyataha subhru samudram sharanam gatan. Out of fear of the kings, we took shelter in the ocean. Here Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that the actual rulers of this world are the gunas, the material modes of nature, which impel all living beings to act. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the actual rulers of this world, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that because Lord Krishna fears that his devotee will come under the influence of the modes of nature and become entangled in sense gratification, he enters the internal ocean of their hearts where he remains as the omniscient super soul. Upalambhana matra atma. Thus he protects his devotees. The word upalambhana matra also indicates that the Lord is the object of meditation for his devotees. In text 12, Lord Krishna also said, Balavadhi kritadveshan. We created enmity with the powerful. Here Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that it is the material senses which are actually powerful in this world. That the Supreme Lord has taken up the battle against sense gratification on the part of his devotees, and thus he is constantly trying to help them in their struggle for spiritual purity. When the devotees become free of unwanted material habits, the Lord reveals himself to them, and then the eternal loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees becomes an irrevocable fact. In the same verse, Krishna stated, Tyaktan Vipassanan, we renounce the royal throne. But here Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that the position of political supremacy in this world usually implicates so-called powerful leaders in darkness and blindness. As the saying goes, power corrupts. Thus even the Lord's loving servants tend to shy away from political intrigue and power politics. The Lord himself, being completely satisfied in his own spiritual bliss, would hardly be interested in occupying mundane political positions. Thus Srimati Rukmini Devi correctly interprets the Lord's actions as evidence of his supreme transcendental nature. Om Agyanatumirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, I shouldn't have closed this. Let me open this again. So, the different acharyas, Sridhar Swami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and also Sanatana Goswami Pad, they seem to concur on the analysis of this verse. And the general idea is that the material modes of nature, there are three kinds of material modes of nature. There is the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And these three modes of nature are the real controllers of our lives. This is a philosophical point. We are not independent. We think we may have free will, but we don't. To the extent that we decide to engage our senses in the service of Krishna, to that extent we are free. To the extent that Krishna is not in our lives, in every moment we are under the control of somebody else, even though we might think that we have freedom. And that somebody else is these three modes of material nature. And the modes of material nature, they invoke specific types of actions on our part. Satyam sukhe sanjayati rajo karmani bharata jnanam avrutya tutamaha pramade sanjayati. When we are in the mode of goodness, we become attached to happiness, or whatever absence of suffering goes by the name of happiness in the world. Rajo karmani bharata, when we are in the mode of passion, we want to act, we want to do many things. And jnanam avrutya tutamaha, the mode of ignorance covers our little knowledge that we might have, discrimination. Pramade sanjayati yuta. It imbues us with mood of laziness, indolence, ignorance, darkness. And these three modes, they constantly fight with each other for dominion over us. And that's pretty much what governs what we do, what our decisions are going to be, what we're going to plan in the day, how we're going to work our activities in the day, pretty much under the modes of material nature. The only time we are free is when we are under the control of the spiritual energy. So the analogy is given of a boat that, or a person on a boat going down a river. The river is ending in a waterfall, the Niagara, you're going to fall off the edge. This river is taking us when we are helpless. You might paddle all you want, but there's nothing you can do. But if there is somebody on the banks that throws a rope to us and we grab onto that rope, then there is a chance that we'll slowly cross this, the width of the river, and go to the bank. The bank is transcendence, back to Godhead. So these material modes are the real controllers. But are they really the controllers? What's being said here is, the comparison is, Krishna said, I'm afraid of the kings. Rukmini says, no, you're not afraid of these kings, rather you're afraid of the material modes. But the modes are mama maya duratyaya. These are my energy, Krishna says. So how is he going to be afraid of the modes? Either. So that's why the word is used, iva. Satyam bhayad iva. Iva means like, as if you're afraid of the material modes of nature. So it's not that he is really afraid of the material modes, as Sanatana Goswami points out. Rather, it appears that you are hiding from these modes of nature. Where does he hide? Krishna is inside our heart, in everybody's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishthati. Krishna explains to Arjuna that God resides in the hearts of all living entities. So because he's inside, and our senses are outside, they are outward, They are seeking pleasure outside. We don't bother to look inside where there is the real happiness. And because we don't look inside our hearts for Krishna, therefore it appears as if Krishna is hiding. This is the idea here. It's not that he's afraid of the modes of nature, rather he seems to be hiding from the modes of nature that are governing our external activities. The next point is that he's always battling against the foolish material senses, like he was battling against Jarasandha and Kali Yavana. Krishna is battling against the material senses. Why is he fighting against the material senses? What does that mean? So Sanatana Goswami Pada explains what it means. It can be understood as follows, or in one way, and that is that the senses are constantly looking for pleasure outside, and Krishna is saying, no, turn inward. I am inside. Turn inward. So he's fighting with the senses, really our desires. He's trying to bring us back. Come back to me. I am inside. Turn inward. So that's how he fights with the senses. But then how are the senses fighting? Actually, the senses fight him. And the reason the senses fight him is because they have been degraded over so many lifetimes that they are no longer interested in Krishna. No, I don't want to hear about Krishna. I want to hear about something else. I don't want to see Krishna's form. I want to watch something else. And I'll give you an example of my experience from last week on this point, if you have time. And so the senses don't want, they are rebellious and they don't want to focus on Krishna, on devotional service, on Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. The mind doesn't want to do it, the senses don't want. So the senses are constantly battling. And to the extent that somehow or the other, by Krishna's mercy, we hear Prabhupada's message, to that extent we get some help in bringing the senses over to Krishna's side. Why does Krishna bother to fight this battle with the senses? Because these senses drag us down to hell, Sanatana Goswami Pad says. Because they drag us down to hell, and Krishna is full of compassion for us, therefore he bothers to fight. And he fights in various ways. And there is one way in which he fights in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm going to try and find this verse. But before that, I'll give you my experience that I had on an airplane last week. So I was traveling from Atlanta to San Francisco. And, the plane became airborne. And I had my Chaitanya Charitamrita, so I pulled it out. And typically when I'm on the plane, I get a lot done in terms of reading scripture because there is nowhere to go. Your seat belts are fastened and you're literally tied onto your seat, so you can't really go anywhere. And there's not much else to do. I had a person sitting next to me who was a devout Christian. As soon as the plane started, he did his cross the way the Christians do. I don't know if you've seen it. So that told me that he was a devout Christian. And he opened his newspaper, which was the New York Times or something. I think the New York Times. He started reading. And he read that newspaper for 5 hours. 5 hours, I think. The flight was 5 hours long. And then in front of me was a nice little monitor. And in the back of every seat was a monitor. These little TV monitors. And on the TV monitors, there was a whole menu of whatever you wanted to see. So 3 seats down from me, Hulk, the Incredible Hulk was playing. We should probably never not mention these names, but anyway, just to give an idea. Everybody knows about it anyway. Then on another screen, there was a movie. In the past, when I used to go to India, which are very long trips, I would get so bored that I would play a little game. I would look at the monitors, which are far away. I don't hear anything, right? And then I would try to guess what the stories are. So my point was to prove that this dialogue is not necessary. If you just look at what's going on, you can figure out what's... And this is a bad habit I have. So I was sitting there, and I started opened my Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I started reading. It was great. I was reading about Madhavendra Puri, Madhurila chapter 4. And it was beautiful, and I was completely absorbed for probably an hour or so, and then my neck muscles started to hurt, so I kind of looked up. And when I looked up, I saw all these monitors. So I said, okay, that's interesting. And because I was reading Krishna conscious literature, you know, I was looking at them through Krishna conscious lens. One of the movies had Brad Pitt in it, those who know. And there was a Nazi war movie. It was far away, but I could tell. There was a tank, and in the tank, the person is the military commander with all the brave qualities of courage, etc. And then there was a young rookie who was afraid. Not really afraid, but had some morals, and he didn't want to fight. So I could piece this together in 30 seconds of watching it. So Hollywood is so obvious. So I immediately thought of Krishna. Oh, see, this is what it is, Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna doesn't want to fight. Krishna is there to give him advice, good counsel. Of course, the analogy ends there because... But the point is, I felt superior. Oh, see, I can analyze these foolish people, what they're watching. And they're just wasting their time. They should be reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I started going back and I started reading. And I read some more. And then my head popped up again. And I looked again. What's going on? Oh, what happened to that movie again? Where is it now? So I started looking there again. And then I found that I became absorbed for longer than I was before. Then I tore my attention away, went back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, read again for a long time. Very absorbing. Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of nectar. Again, my neck popped up. What happened? Then I started to realize, why am I doing this? Again and again, I keep going back to that movie. And my analysis is that as soon as we feel superior that we are doing something that the other people can't do, we are somehow superior to them, Krishna takes away the mercy. It is not that when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita that it is somehow by our efforts that we are reading it. This is the realization I got. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is alive. It's not just words on a book. It's Krishna himself, as Prabhupada has explained many times. So when Krishna feels offended with us for whatever reason, we become proud, then he takes away the facilities that even allow us to do sadhana bhakti. And I think that's what happened. So I realized what was happening, and I prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I went back to reading, and I read a lot. That was great. The other conclusion I had was that not the best movies made by Hollywood, millions of dollars of expertise in trying to catch the eyes of human beings in planes, on TV, in theaters, they can't compete with Prabhupada's words in this book. This is just a book. There's nothing moving there. There's no special effects. There is no trickery, simple words. And these words are powerful, so powerful that they can compete and absorb us. They can compete for attention and absorb us. This is how Krishna fights with the material energy. Despite the fact that my material senses are trying to break away, they're complaining, no, I want that. But Krishna fights, Prabhupada fights for us and brings us back. All we have to do is have the Chaitanya Charitamrita in our hands. That's the free will we have. And then either the modes will take us away, yatatopi kanteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani prabhatini haranti prasabham manaha. Krishna explains that even if the person of discrimination is trying to control his senses, indriyani prabhatini, they are so strong, the material senses, haranti prasabham manaha, they'll take your mind away. So Krishna gives the solution in the next verse. Tani sarvani sayamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi asya indriyani tasya pradnya pratishtita. Control all those roving senses and fix them on me. He is the only solution. Can you imagine if I didn't have the Chaitanya Charitamrita with me and I had to sit there 5 hours with my eyes open, what am I going to do? There is no chance of success. There is just no way I will not watch those movies. Because there is so much of a collection, so many things. And these things are connected to us from ancient desires. What to speak of previous lifetimes, in this lifetime. When I grew up watching, reading comics on the Incredible Hulk and imagining, oh, how powerful he must be. Of course, it's a desire to actually see Krishna, but it is misdirected. All these American cartoon comic characters are also in India, and I was attached to them when I grew up, Captain America and Spider-Man, And now I'm 38 years old, and my eyes are still attracted to the Incredible Hulk, because my childhood fantasies, I want to see, well, what happens next? No, but it's just a false story. They're trying to make money off of you. It's taking your attention away from, no, but what happens next? So, this is how Krishna battles. There is a battle going on. We are in a war situation. Our senses are constantly out of our control. Most of the time we don't even recognize it, except when we come to Bhagavatam class and we hear the speakers talk about the material senses, or we hear the verses here. But most of the time we are going on with our blinders on. We don't even know what's going on. But basically there's a war for our attention. And there are two sides to the war. One side is Krishna and his representative, and the other side is the material world. And the amazing thing is that Krishna, out of his compassion, when he fights the war, let me see if I can find this verse. By the way, this verse I read on the plane and I thought it would be nice for our lecture today. And this verse is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's see if I can pull this up. 600 kilobytes. I don't have it. This is in the Madhya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fighting for us also. And here's how he fights. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 3.189. Tumi sabha loka mora parama bandhava ei bhiksha mago mora more deha tumi sabha. Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, and sannyasis beg. They do not own anything. They go begging for alms from home to home. And then whatever they get, they survive on that. Bhiksha is the word. Prabhupada translates the word bhiksha. Ei bhiksha mago. I beg one favor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is begging us. This is how he fights for us. And what does he beg? My dear friends, this is for his devotees, of course. You are all my intimate friends. Now I am begging a favor of you. Please give it to me. The next verse he says, Ghariyaha karasada Krishna sankirtana Krishna nama Krishna katha Krishna aradhana. He's begging for the following. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them all to return home. The devotees were gathered at Advaita Acharya's house and begin chanting the holy name congregationally. He also requested them to worship Krishna, chant his holy name, and discuss his holy pastimes. So, Krishna nama, Krishna katha, Krishna aradhana. This is what Krishna wants from us. So if we comply with his request, then we assist him in his battle with our material senses for supremacy over our attention. Srila Prabhupada's commentary is revealing, and it's not directly connected to today's topic, but I'll read it anyway. Purport. The cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Hare Krishna movement, is very nicely explained by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu authoritatively. It is not that everyone has to take sannyas like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone can execute the cult of Krishna consciousness at home, as ordered by the Lord. Everyone can congregationally chant the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One can also discuss the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and install deities of Radha Krishna or Gaurnitaya or both, and worship them very carefully in one's own home. It is not that we have to open different centers all over the world. Whoever cares for the Krishna conscious movement can install deities at home and under superior guidance worship the deity regularly, chanting the Mahamantra and discussing the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We are actually teaching in our classes how to go about this. One who feels that he is not yet ready to live in the temple or undergo strict regulative principles in the temple, especially householders who live with wife and children, can start a center at home by installing the deity, worshipping the Lord, morning and evening, chanting Hare Krishna and discussing the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He says this three times in this purport, discuss the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam at home. Anyone can do this at home without difficulty. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees present there to do so. So let me conclude with an observation on this pastime. to summarize. God is not somebody, a grumpy old man in the clouds with a white beard casting judgment on us. God is joking, having fun, delighting in relationships with his devotees. This is not the only place Krishna jokes. For example, if you look at the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Yachya vahasartham asatkrutosi vihara shayasana bhojaneshu eko athva api achyuta tat samaksham tat shyamayata tvam aham aprameyam. He says, whatever joking I did with you, and then he lists different places while having prasad, bhojanam, while relaxing, when sitting on the bed, Arjuna made fun of Krishna. He poked jokes at him. Sakhyaras. So Krishna is the supreme, and he's showing this terrible universal form, which is extremely scary to Arjuna. And then he realizes, what have I done? I've made fun of the supreme. So this is Krishna. He is not interested in his position as God. He's interested in loving relationships with his devotees. So that's one example. And there are many examples. Another example, so let me see if I can find it, is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there is joking going on. Oh, I have it here. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya's joking relationships. So Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are having prasad at Advaita Acharya's house. And so Nityananda Prabhu says, I have undergone fasting for 3 days continuously. Today I hope to break my fast. So you have a guest who comes home. You have prepared a whole lot of prasad for him. And Nityananda Prabhu says, so the translation here is, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking that the quantity of food was enormous, Nityananda Prabhu on the contrary thought it not even a morsel. Indeed, he said, although I'm invited to eat by Advaita Acharya today, today is also a fast. So small a quantity of food will not even fill half my belly. So this is his response. Advaita Acharya replied, sir, you are a mendicant beggar traveling on pilgrimage. Sometimes you eat fruits and roots and sometimes you go on fasting. I'm a poor Brahmin and you have come to my home. Please be satisfied with whatever little food you have received and give up your greedy mentality. Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied, whatever I may be, you have invited me, therefore you must supply as much as I want to eat. His Divine Grace Advaita Acharya, after hearing the statement of Nityananda Prabhu, took the opportunity presented by the joking words and spoke to him as follows. Advaita Acharya said, you are a reject, Paramahamsa, and you have accepted the renounced order of life just to fill up your belly. I can understand your business is to give trouble to the Brahmins. Advaita Acharya accused Nityananda Prabhu saying, you can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. I'm a poor Brahmin. How shall I get so much rice? So 20 manas means 80 kilos. So Advaita Acharya said, you can eat 80 kilo rice. I can't cook so much. Whatever you have, though it be a palmful of rice, please eat it and get up. Don't show your madness and strew the remnants of food here and there. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate and talk with Advaita Acharya jokingly. So jokes, light humor, this is also part of Krishna's pastimes. Of course, the goal of all of this, the common thread in all his pastimes is love. The jokes are not meant to insult or to belittle others. In this case, Krishna is belittling himself. But they are meant to deepen the mellows of loving relationships. So that's the difference between our mundane jokes and Krishna's joking. So I'll conclude here. And, there are comments, questions, other examples of joking behavior. Prabhuji, Vipassanthi Prabhu, back.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
You were mentioning that he's going to eat 80 kilos. So I was just thinking, for the Sunday feast for about 400 people, we make 20 kilos. That's 1,600 people he can eat.
There's some hands up at the back there.
Prabhu, I noticed in these verses, I believe in this chapter, if not prior,
this chapter. Krishna is referring to himself as we. In the earlier chapters, he didn't.
I didn't notice that. Let me see.
Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, he refers to himself in the first person. Singular.
Do you remember the verse?
Well, one of the ones today, and everyone...
Today he's being addressed as such. Bhavan, in the verse 34, Rukmini Vacha, Yadvai Bhavan, Bhagavato, Sadrushi Vibhumnaha. So Bhavan is a... In Sanskrit, there are two forms of address. One is Bhavan, which means the honorable you. And then there is Tvam, which is just normal you. And sometimes plural is used to indicate a great personality. Vayam, you know. So, but I don't know what the context is here. So I need to, if you can tell me which verse it is, we can analyze it more. Yeah, but so where is that? But today's verse was an address by Rukmini to Krishna. Verse 12, let me see. Oh, yes, you're right. We took shelter. Rajabhyo bhibhyataha subhru samudram sharanam gatan palvadhi vatadveshan prayastak tanupasanam. Tasman naha, there we go, naha, us. Yeah, he does refer to himself as us. I don't know why. Yeah, him and Balaram, but when he says to Rukmini, why did you choose us who are not... Rukmini didn't choose Balaram, she chose Krishna. So I don't know what's going on here. This is a question for somebody more enlightened. Good point. I'll see if I can find out. There was one hand here. Yes, Madhish.
I was wondering if you had any tips for what, as a parent, I can do to help replace something other than media for my children, because it's a pull which I don't like at all, but that means I have to engage them some other way, and it's difficult to be engaging them all the time. But it's a war that a lot of us parents are fighting, and any advice you can have for that, winning that war, I'd be grateful.
This is a tough one. This is the toughest question anybody's asked me. Because the fact is that I'm fighting the same war. What I do is I complain about it all the time. And then I try to provide alternatives. There aren't a whole lot of alternatives, you know, because devotees haven't made a whole lot of films. But there are some, I try to find old movies from India which are more in the mode of goodness. They're not transcendental. For example, Tukaram. So my daughters have got tired of watching that now. Then there is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are some very old Bengali movies made on Chaitanya. Nadia something, forget what it is. Nimai Nadia. So that's, yeah. But they are limited, and the Tom and Jerry's and the Donald Ducks are everywhere. So what's my solution? I don't really have an answer because I don't have... But what I can suggest, because suggestions are cheap, is that, I mean, Prabhupada's plan for the housekeepers, householders, these words, so householders for the grahasthas, is that they should read the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam every day. And I think that if we did Sankirtan every day at home, regular program, 15 minutes, doesn't have to be long, do Kirtan. The whole family should sit down and do Sankirtan. That's my next goal for myself. And the other thing I've done is, you know, there are these phone, it depends on the age, but for my daughters, there's this phone conference where you can call in and then they read Krishna book and chant on the phone. And she seems to be liking that. So it is important to not only engage them, but have peer groups that are also interested in the same thing. That's why Bhaktivedanta Academy is so valuable. But I think at home also, if you can somehow use technology, Skype or phone, and connect with their best friends and get their best friends also involved in the same devotional activity, then I think it's a synergistic effect. So those are the two things I'm planning to do, and we'll see how it goes. But this is very difficult. Prabhuji has a question.
I was going to suggest music and art. These are two things that are being taken out of public schools. Big mistake. But, you know, to teach your daughters or sons how to play musical instruments, art, it's unlimited. You know, I mean, there's a million instruments, and there's also a million different types of painting, sculpture, pottery, whatever. You know. But those are nice ways to...
Thank you. Prabhuji, there's a question at the back.
Srila says, one lecture, before the TV was invented, in India was a custom, every afternoon all the family used to gather together and read Ramayana and Mahabharata. Every family, almost, before the TV invented, before the Indian films too.
Yeah. It's true.
I was just going to say that if the TV is there, it's almost a pie. The TV is like all pervasive. If it's there, you're probably going to be watching it.
See, but it's not the TV anymore. The TV is irrelevant. It's the internet.
There was one brahmachari.
But if you don't have internet at home, you can't check email. So it's almost like you can't live.
I'll tell you an old story. There was a brahmachari in Calgary, and the temple president was watching the TV, and he took the TV, you know, everyone, he took the TV and threw it out the window.
Who did?
The brahmachari.
Wow.
The temple president.
Should have sold it instead of destroying it. Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your class.
Thank you.
The verse discussed the corruption, power corrupts, and politics for us dull-witted, slow people. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Just yeah, so the context of the verse is that Rukmini, he says that, well, we even gave up our kingdom, so we're irresponsible, Krishna says. So she's saying, actually, it's a good thing. Even your devotees don't want Krishna. One of the opulences of Krishna is renunciation. So, you know, he's not interested in anything material. Although everything, because everything belongs to him anyway, but... So Krishna's devotees, they know that if they get into position, any position has the potential for making us offensive towards others. I have that experience myself at the university. Once you're in position of power, becomes your responsibility to make sure other people do their job. It's the most unpleasant thing to do. So power corrupts, definitely. People forget that they are supposed to be servants. So we have to be servant leaders in devotional circles. We hear about that. Remind ourselves we are servants, not leaders so much, but more servants. And we are serving by leading. But yes, in Kali Yuga, it's just given. That's why the Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they gave up their prime minister positions and became mendicants with a loincloth, sleeping under a new tree every night because they were so unhappy being in that situation. Not only because of the Muslim, whatever, the militia surrounded on it, but also the fact that they were in these positions of power which were keeping them away from their real job, surrender to Krishna. Of course, in the days gone by, great kings, Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they were great saintly kings, Rajarshi, Rajarishi, but that's not available anymore in Kali Yuga. Okay, I think we should close here. Nitya Gaur Premanande.